Thank you to the music group, and welcome to this morning's service. Got a couple of notices for you today before I hand over to the music group. First of all, as far as today is concerned, for those of you helpful people who help us to pack away at the end of the service, you don't need to do that today. So we can leave the school as is, which is lovely. The second thing is, this morning we are having coffee, tea and biscuits, but it's going to come out to you, it's going to be served to you today. I could say that's because we're being nice, but it's because the kitchen's been painted. So the coffee and tea will come out to you at the end of the service. Then, so that's today. In 3 weeks' time, so 3 weeks today, Sunday the 30th of August, we know already there's going to be a lot of people away, so we've decided that we will have a service not here, but at Oasis. So it will be a shorter service, and it's a sharing service. So it's really there for all of us. But if there's anything that you feel you want to share because the Lord has put something on your heart, it could be a poem, it could be a song, it could be a piece of scripture, or just something which God is speaking to you about at the moment, then please come and let me know so that we can include you in that service. So 3 weeks today, we will be at Oasis, and we'll make sure we remind you of that over the next couple of weeks as well. Then, also, while I'm here, I just wanted to give you a little update on Oasis and the purchase, because you've all been so patient, and you know, people ask me how we're doing with the purchase. It's been going on for well over 18 months now, and the problem has been over a particular right of way, so that when we exit, or if we had to exit the building in an emergency at the back of Oasis, we have to go across two other properties. And we have to make sure that legally we're allowed to do that. So that's been what's been holding us up for well over 18 months. But we are getting close now. So we think we've agreed a way forward. We just need to convince the solicitors, and then we should be ready to go. So I just wanted to share that with you while we've got lots of people here, that probably for the first time in a long, long time, we are getting closer to owning Oasis. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to say, the reason I'm standing here and the music group are involved and Sue Thompson will be taking communion later is because Tony Togneri was going to be taking the service this morning, but he and Christine have had to rush up to Scotland. Christine's father, Ian, is very poorly at the moment, so they've had to rush up there. So it's a slightly different service this morning. And thank you to everyone who's taking part to cover for Tony. And we will remember Tony and Christine later in our prayers. Okay, I think that's me for the moment. Susie.
Okay, thank you. Very warm welcome to everybody here this morning. Lovely to see everybody. Right, okay, let's start with just giving this time to God. Oh, we praise you, God. We meet here this morning to give you praise and glory. And I pray that you will meet with each one of us in a very special way today. Amen. Stu.
I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. This is from Psalm 176. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, and it has 176 verses. So you've only... 1:9, yeah. So you've only been spared 8.
We're going to spend some time singing God's praises now. Please feel free to sit or stand as is your preference.
Every heart and stormy gale, I am
Some prayers of thanks and praise now.
Yes, hello. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer, should we? Gracious God, we come before you now and bring our prayers of praise and thanks. We praise you as the Most High God, name above all names, who by your very words created heaven and earth. We praise you also as our Father. We give thanks that you chose us as your children, and for us you are the faithful one, the unchanging one, our rock, who is always available and ready whenever we call to you. And Jesus, we praise you, Son of the Most High, who sat at the right hand of the Father and was willing to become the once and for all sacrifice for our sin, who through the shedding of your blood brought us salvation, deliverance and healing, and reconciliation with the Father, all of which we were so undeserving, and for this we give you all our praise and thanks. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Spirit of God, as our earthly companion, bringing counsel and comfort. You who is within us and around us, meaning that a touch of the divine is with us at all times. We give thanks for the wisdom and discernment that you bring to our lives and the way that you help us to hear the Father's voice. So, Father God, we would ask for your forgiveness for our sins, those sins that separate us from you and for which Jesus shed his blood. We recognize that we are prone to sin, and we know that we have sinned both by commission and omission, and we repent of these. So, gracious God, we worship you and praise you for all that you've done for us, for the many blessings you pour out on us. We praise you for the wonders of the world we live in. We praise you for our families and the joy they bring to us. We praise you for the community that we live in and for our church family. We praise you for the freedom we have to be able to meet in your name and the freedom to be able to speak openly about you in our society. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done in each of our lives and for what you continue to do. And we praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And before I finish, I'd just like to share with you a verse that has meaning for me, and it's one of my favourite verses. It's from Zephaniah 3:17, and it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Can you think about what a wonderful picture that is, that God is rejoicing over each one of us with singing? Hallelujah. Praise God for that, I say. Yes. Right, so now we'll have a time of open prayer. If anyone would like to bring prayers to God, that would be good. Anyone would like just short prayers, maybe? I'll leave it open to you. So we thank you, Father, for these prayers, and we pray that each one of those has risen to you as a sweet savour. And Lord, we look forward to answering those prayers in due time, in your time, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much. Right. I have a bag. Can anyone guess what's in my bag?
Tennis racket.
Tennis racket, wrong.
Shoes.
Shoes.
Shoes, no. Thank you. Okay, so what was all that about? A little later, we're going to hear a Bible reading where St. Paul writes a letter to Christians in a place called Ephesus. And he prays that God will open the eyes of their heart. And that was a song that we just sang, wasn't it? Open the eyes of our heart. That's a bit of a funny thing to say, isn't it? Because does our heart have eyes on them? Don't think so. But Paul was meaning something else. And the eyes of our heart let us see God and let us understand him, how we feel his love and how we know he is with us, even though sometimes we can't see him, just like in the bag. You see, knowing about God isn't enough. We need to see and feel his love to really understand what he has done for us. It's a bit like the sun. Sun on a beautiful day like today. We all know it's there, but until you stand in the warmth of the sun, you don't really feel the warmth and the power that comes from it. So Paul prayed for three things for his fellow Christians. The first one was for them to see the hope that God gives. And hope means that God has got an amazing plan for every one of us, even though sometimes it feels hard. Secondly, he prays to see how valuable we are to him. Because Paul also said that we're like God's treasure, and we, every one of us, means so much to God. And then thirdly, he prays to see God's power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us every day to help us to be more loving, more kind, more brave, and more strong. So we are going to have another hymn now, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and if we can ask for the collection to be brought round as well during that time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have given us so much. And we pray that you will bless this money, both for the work of your church here and also for the 8 children that we sponsor around the world. We pray for them now, Father. We pray for those children that they may know your love in their lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please sit down. And the children want to go. You go to the table at the back. We've got some goodies for you to play with there. Thank you. We're grateful to Tony for choosing the hymns and the reading this morning. And we're going to have the reading now, which is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And then after that reading, Howard will come and share some thoughts and reflections on Nevin, where he's been for the last week. So, Vera, thank you.
The reading is actually Ephesians 1, 1 to 14,
oh,
a change. Yeah.
Ephesians 1, verse 1 to chapter 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time has reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It's good to share God's word together. I've got to apologise that though I've got some notes from Nevin, and I'm going to give you some thoughts from Nevin, this is unprepared. I got back yesterday at about 4:30, and I think Andrea will testify that I was a little bit like a zombie. I'd driven home with the radio on full blast to keep me awake, and any of you who have done Nevin will know that it is very full on when you're one of the leaders. You're physically at the end of your tether, and also you've been giving out spiritually and drawing on God's resources, but at the end of camp, we tend to all just go flop. So the lights are on, but I'm not sure if anybody's in. What do people say about you? What might people say about you? Helen is beautifully dressed in white this morning. Andrea has a summer dress on this morning. Somebody's looking a bit jaded. It depends which voices we listen to, doesn't it? So-and-so's doing well in their job. So-and-so's not doing well in their job. And if you're a young person, where are you taking these voices from? A lot of it's coming from social media. And social media says, you need to be living up to this lifestyle. You need to look like that. You need to have thousands of likes and followers on your channel. you are only worth if you look, you are only worth what you look like. These are the sort of voices that are coming at young people all the time. You are only worth something if you're in the in crowd. I'm just wondering if we can go back to the beginning of our reading, please, Darren. And we'll just pull some verses out of this. Because Paul's getting really quite excited here. And who is Paul? He is an apostle. And he has not just chosen Christ. He has not made a decision on his own steam to follow Christ. He was stopped in his tracks when he was Saul the persecutor. And God says, I have a better plan for you. I'm going to turn you around. I'm going to give you new life in Christ. And you're going to have to be so different. You need a new name. You're going to be Paul. And Paul says, here I am. I'm Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God. I have been chosen. And I'm going to write to the church in Ephesus that is special and precious to me because you are the ones that I spoke to and preached to when I toured through. Next verse. Grace and peace be to you from the Lord God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's presence and God's blessing be upon you and upon us. Now, Paul starts to get quite excited. I love the beginning of Ephesians. It's full of superlatives. We're talking about praise to God who has blessed us. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And the encouragement here is to allow God to be everything that we need. He will supply our resources. When I'm feeling at the end of my strength on Nevin, the coach has just gone, and I know that there's a whole site to tidy up in about 2 hours before the next group comes in. I didn't have the physical strength to do it yesterday. That was a God moment to allow me to just endure and get through it. So there are times when we come to the end of our strength when we need to draw on God. And sometimes that's where God wants us to be, relying on him rather than relying on ourselves. Dave, I'm going to lift this microphone a bit higher so it doesn't ring. That's probably more my height. Who are we? We are chosen. We are chosen. Now, I don't know whether you had this experience. I found the whole school sports thing quite traumatic to the point where I would say I came out of school quite damaged by it. I was never chosen for the team. I was always the one left behind when everybody else had been picked. Oh yeah, we'll have to have Jones then on the last side. It was not good. But we have been chosen by God. He wants us. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to be playing your part in his family. You are precious to him. Each one of us has been chosen. Not chosen when we were banging on God's door saying, please let me in. Because the Bible says that we were yet dead in sin when Christ died for our salvation. And then, having said yes, having been brought near, how much more shall we be rejoicing together in Christ? And he wants to bless us. And he has predestined us for adoption to be sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. I don't get hung up on predestination. Predestination isn't about you don't have a choice, everything's mapped out. Predestination is just because God knows the end from the beginning. Time is part of creation. Time is part of God's creation. And therefore, he is outside time. But it is part of his plan. We have been chosen. We are not an accident. Isn't that fantastic? And we're not just chosen to be God's friends, we're chosen to be God's sons and daughters. And sons and daughters are part of the family. Sons and daughters need to show the family likeness. Sons and daughters are loved and are precious. And Paul is still overflowing here. And this is to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves, in Jesus. And he's going on, because in Jesus we have got redemption. Now, redemption's a lovely big word that we need to unpack, isn't it? Redemption means to be bought back. Not to be bought, but to be bought back. Something which should be yours. Supposing something of yours has been seized and you have to buy it back a second time. You haven't lost it and just thought, oh, well, never mind, I'll get another one or I'll do without that. It is so important, I need to buy it back. And we were God's by right of creation. We were lost in sin. We have been bought back and redeemed through Jesus. That is how much God loves us. And we've talked about the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He didn't just give us a little bit of love and a little bit of grace. He has spilled out his love to include every one of us. It's lavished on us, and it is done with wisdom and understanding. This is great stuff. And he made known to us the mystery that is his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Jesus needs to be at the center of all we do and all we are as God's people. Jesus is our access to God. Jesus is our right of entry into God's family. And Jesus is the one that God has chosen to make all this possible. Okay. I've been on Nevin for a week. Nevin is an exciting place because we have the privilege of being a Christian community together for 7 days with a group of young people. The young people come from churches and youth groups all over the region. Traditionally, it was part of the Crusaders organization. Crusaders became urban saints and decided it was no longer able to manage camps, even though Nevin has been managing itself for a long time. So last year, Nevin went standalone and became its own charity. And so this was year two as Nevin Camps, as its independent organisation. We've got 5 camps this year. Over 180 young people are going. Whilst some come from Christian homes, many do not. And even those that are coming from Christian homes, we are reminded again and again, God does not have grandchildren. God only has children. Every generation needs to meet the Lord and receive him for themselves. I know that we all know and understand that. And it is just such a privilege to share the gospel, to share time with the youngsters, to get to know them, to show them, to model Christian living together as a team for a week, and to spend time listening to the gospel and praising God. It is very full on, as I mentioned before. Most of the leaders get totally exhausted, and I think we come away feeling, gosh, it's nice to come home, but that was worth it. It was really good. It was exciting. And our theme this week was Ephesians, and we've gone through looking at being chosen by God, which has come out very strongly there in chapter 1. But it comes out elsewhere in Ephesians 2. I've mentioned peer pressure and social media give rise to feelings of failure and rejection. But somebody even like Paul, who was a complete persecutor and a disaster, was turned around by God. And we wanted all the children and young people to know that they are called. They have been chosen. And our value is not determined by what other people think of us. We are valuable because we are loved by God. And Paul was praying in verses 14 to 19. If we can just see that a little bit. Paul is praying that because we need God's help to understand how massive his love for us actually is. Let's have the next one as well. We've got the Holy Spirit as a deposit. Well, that's as far as it goes. Okay, we could go on through the whole of Ephesians, but we won't. But we need God's help to fully grasp God's love. So please do pray that prayer yourselves. I've got a little prayer here from Ephesians 3 that the team prayed each morning. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Amen. That's Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. And if you want to get excited, just go dipping into Ephesians sometime and try and catch the flavour of how excited Paul is getting about all the blessings and the riches that we have in God. Because of Jesus, everyone who puts their trust in him is part of God's family and is equal. The good news is for everyone. We're told to go and make disciples of all nations. There is one, we are one family in Christ. And the church should be diverse because God's family is diverse. All nations are mentioned. And that was one of the things that the Jews had lost sight of. They were God's chosen people, but they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations, showing them God's great plan and God's mercy. And they'd gone and thought that God's love was just for them, and they'd turned inwards. And Jesus came and blew that apart. Christians are to go to all nations. God's love is available to everyone. We're very comfortable talking about God's love, but the other side of God's character is justice. And you can't have, love doesn't make sense without justice. I think any parent knows there are times when bringing up a young child, you need to be tough in your love. They need to know right and wrong. They can't just be told everything is okay. And when we look around the world and we see some of the terrible things that are happening, we want there to be justice and for things to be put right. And God doesn't brush sin under the carpet. He doesn't say it's okay. He has paid for it through Jesus' death on the cross. And then, having paid for it, in grace, he extends that forgiveness to us. Justice and mercy don't make sense without each other. And Job came to a point where there were things going on that he couldn't answer. Why didn't God sort stuff out? And he wrestled with this. And God said to him, "Who are you to ask me about some of these great issues?" And we have to let God be God. But we do know that ultimately God is both loving and just. They're two sides of his character. As children of God, we need to show the family likeness. And in Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11, again, Paul says, "My prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge, to discern, that you will be able to discern, and that you will be pure and blameless on the day of Christ." So we are called to seek, to wrestle in our minds, to understand and to discern what God is doing, what God wants to say to us, that we can take on the family likeness and we can show Christ to the world. I was joking with Mark when we came in, because one of the places that Ephesians goes in Ephesians 6, we get the armour of God. And one of the things we did as leaders is we mimed putting on the armour of God, the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and so on. And I think you saw Andrea and me do a little sketch about that 2 weeks ago. And I had the knight's costume that Andrea wore. But the helmet wouldn't fit, would it, Andrea? So I couldn't put on the helmet of salvation. So I was joking with Mark that it had to be the sun hat of salvation instead. A little bit of irreverence is absolutely fine. I'm sure God's got a great sense of humour too. We were talking with the youngsters about the fact that life is tough. They will go through difficult times. They will have to be strong to go home from Nevin and be open and honest about the things that they've heard and shared. The fact that they've experienced God's love, they've heard about Jesus, and many of them have prayed prayers of commitment and growth, wanting to go forwards with God. And we rejoice in that, but we also know that it'll be tough when they go home. And they need to put on the armour of God. And we talked a lot about that with them. So please pray for the children as they go home from camp. The teenagers, the older teenagers were on A camp. It was 14 to 16s this week, just finished. We've got 12 to 14s in at the moment, a very big camp this week. And then I think we've got two camps of juniors to follow on. And also going, Joe, are you on D or E? D. Joe's going to D camp along with George and Christine. I think Janet Wright is in the kitchen for part of the time. And I think Keith and Mavis are in the kitchen for part of the time. The cooks work really hard, by the way, but they do provide fantastic food. The cookhouse is a source of blessing and TLC for the whole camp. And they're a vital part of it. So do pray for them. Pray for the people who are going to be tent leaders. The tent leaders have pastoral responsibility for the youngsters. Pray for the speaker for each week. And just pray that that work will really bring a harvest in God's kingdom at Nevin. And that Nevin camp will be able to continue in future years. The future of that site is uncertain at the moment. We don't own that field. It's moved on two generations from the original family that shared the vision and felt called by God to make it available. So please pray that the current owners of the field may be touched by God to allow us to continue there. An interesting little challenge this year was we lost our electricity supply. So we now have a generator, a battery storage system and solar, which has worked fantastically well, and that is an amazing answer to prayer. Various people have put in a lot of work to get that up and running, so we just rejoice and thank God for his provision of both the funds and the expertise to get that done. I think those are some of the thoughts I wanted to share. It is a privilege to work with youngsters. I was joining one of the tent groups for quiet times each morning, and I'm just staggered by the stuff that youngsters are up against in their day-to-day lives. So please pray that young people not only hear the gospel, but are able to receive the gospel and to carry on following Jesus. Let's just pray for Nevin. Heavenly Father, we pray for Nevin Sea Camp, who are on the field this morning, and we'll be having their second meeting tonight. We pray your protection over them. We pray that in the heavenly realms, Lord, that you would be protecting them and enabling them to hear you speaking. Please give the words to the speaker and the leaders, and please be very present by your Spirit in the comings out, goings out and the comings in, at the everyday activities of that camp, that Nevin will truly be a glimpse of heaven this week, and that those youngsters will learn more about you. And I pray for those who've gone home, enable them to stand, to remember the things they've heard and seen, the choices that they've made for you, help them to stand firm and to put down deep roots in Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sue, I think you'd like to come up and say a few things.
Because of the way this morning service has come together, I had no idea what Howard was going to say this morning. No. But I had a thought during the week, and a thought, a brief thought to give you, that when we gather round the Lord's table, we are wearing two hats. I know nobody's wearing hats these days. We wear the first hat as individual people, each one of us, reflecting on Jesus' death on the cross and what it means to us personally in our life of faith. And Howard has set out for us just exactly what that is about. That is the first of our hats. And the second hat that we wear is that we are not just a group of individuals, we are a community. Sandbach Baptist Church has got lots of individuals in, but it is, as it were, the body of Christ in Sandbach. And every church is a community gathered together. Our history as Baptists goes right back to the 1600s. And the idea of the gathered church, the people who were gathered together, rather than the people who were just told to go to church by their employers or by the state, that the gathered church came together. So I thought these two ideas were there to bring to you this morning. I didn't know how I was going to do the first one anyway. But as a gathered church, that is why we pray for our community after communion in a very special way. We have a responsibility, not just to ourselves and our friends, but to every single one of us, because we are the body of Christ. We're going to stand and read some bits of Ephesians and some bits of 1 Corinthians, which remind us of this community, that we are Christ's body in this world. So stand if you want. No, don't stand, actually, because you've got to read the screen. You are side A. You will read the words that's where it says A. You will read the words where it says B. These words are taken from the Message translation of the Bible, so they won't be the ones you recognise, but you'll know where they come from. So, oh, yes. A. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. So our communion song is, and there isn't really one that you sing about the gathered church, it doesn't fit into, but it's as your family, Lord, see us here, because a family has that idea of a specific community which is more than the sum total of its individuals. So as your family, Lord, see us here is our communion song. sit down. The table of the Lord is spread. It is for those who will come and see in broken bread and poured out wine, symbols of his life shed for us on the cross and raised again on the third day. The risen Christ is present among his people, and it is here and now that we meet him. Just a moment of quiet to reflect on the risen Christ, his presence here, and meeting him here. He says, I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. The bread which I give is my own flesh. I gave it for the life of the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, oops, we won't have that one, we'll have this one. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he shared it with his disciples, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. And after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he offered it to them, and he said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, remember me. We eat the bread as we receive it because we are each individuals responding to Christ's love. So you eat the bread when you receive it. And the children are still at the back, but they will be joining us. And they don't need to come, but they will be joining us from the back. And the wine we will all drink together when everyone's been served, as a sign that we are a community, not just individuals. So together, as the body of Christ, we drink and remember. living and loving Lord, we thank you that we are able to meet you here as we meet with each other. So now we draw into the fellowship of this table all those who concern us today, those for whom we would pray, those who may not be here but would love to be. We pray especially for the Tonieri family, not knowing quite what they were going to face in Scotland. But we gather them round this table now in our thoughts. And also many people here who are sad, some bereaved, some poorly today in our fellowship. We ask that you will be the loving and healing God for them. We gather into the prayers of this table all those who are, for some reason, unhappy. Perhaps unhappy at home, or at school, or at work. Or on their own, perhaps, at home, feeling that things are not going right. Lord, bless them and comfort them. And we do pray for the wider world. As it were, we're in our imagination, we gather that world around this table too, knowing that your arms are encompassing of all that. We pray for places of violence and need and injustice. We pray where there is desperate famine, desperate illness. We think particularly of Ebola in Africa. We pray for those places of conflict on our news regularly, and then sometimes even falling off the back of the news. But you do not forget. Lord, we gather into your love here around this table all those who concern us in your world. Bless us now, each one of us, as we go. May we love and serve you well this week. Amen. Amen. Two more verses to send us out of our song. Can I remind you, you're not going into the kitchen for coffee, it will be brought out to you. Two more verses to stand and sing. The blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with us this week and forever. Amen.